Chapter 23. The Green-Eyed Monster. Dusty, our 9-pound Pomeranian, stood over his dinner dish, eating his daily dinner ration as quickly as his tiny mouth would allow. Katie, the Kelpie, and Tucker, the cattle dog mix, 45 and 75 pounds respectively, always inhaled their meals and finished first, then hovered like vultures over Dusty, hoping he'd leave a few kibbles in the bowl, which he often did. By sheer virtue of their size, they could have easily bullied Dusty away from his dish and taken what they so obviously coveted. But if they hovered too near, Dusty issued a comical, pint-sized growl, and the two big dogs backed off until he finished. Resource guarding. Dusty was resource guarding, a perfectly normal survival skill that allows smaller, weaker, and lower-status dogs to keep possession of a highly valued object even when that object is the target of a larger and stronger dog's desire. The bigger dog acknowledges the smaller dog's possession rights and, thus, helps maintain harmony in the pack, although because he is bigger and stronger, he technically could, and occasionally does, assert his position of higher status to insist that the lower-ranked dog give up the prize. Later that evening, my husband Paul was playing a rousing game of growly butt-scratch with Tucker in the den. Katie, hearing the commotion from the dining room, charged into the den and effectively broke up the game by making ugly faces at Tucker and biting his heels. When Tucker was put in his place, Katie ran to Paul with her ears back, eyes squinting adorably, demanding attention for herself with a burst of irrepressible Kelpie energy. I fondly describe Kelpies as border collies on caffeine. Although this looked a lot like jealousy, and indeed we might call it that, Katie was also resource guarding. Paul's attention is a very valuable resource. Katie wanted it for herself, and was willing to aggress on the considerably larger, often higher-ranking Tucker to get it. Because Tucker was an easygoing guy, he was willing to defer to Katie and give up his game with Paul rather than generate conflict. In a more serious example of resource guarding, a potential client called me, shaken, because her chow had bitten her badly the day before when she leaned down next to his food bowl to pick up a scrap of paper. She needed stitches. Bear is in bite quarantine, and she and her husband are debating whether or not to have him euthanized. Natural behavior or not, resource guarding is a serious problem when it results in open aggression, especially aggression toward humans. It is a particularly dangerous behavior around children, because they tend to disregard our warnings about leaving Gimme alone when she's eating or chewing on a toy. Kids are also good at not heeding Gimme's warning signs when she stiffens and growls to signal that she is serious about defending her possession rights. Because a child is so much lower to the ground than an adult, if Gimme does feel compelled to back up her warning with teeth, those teeth are likely to end up in the child's face. Not a good outcome for either party. If your dog's resource guarding behavior is serious, I cannot stress enough the importance of working with a dog training professional. Few non-professional dog owners have the knowledge, courage, or skills to modify serious aggression without assistance, and someone could be badly hurt in the meantime. Don't take any chances. If you are at all in doubt about your ability to work with your dog's behavior, seek qualified help. Prevention, prevention, prevention. Resource guarding, like so many other behavior challenges, is a natural, normal dog behavior that just isn't acceptable in human society. It's also much easier to prevent than cure. If you have the advantage of working with a puppy or a dog who does not already display unacceptable guarding behavior, you can take steps to ensure that she doesn't start. You want her to know that good things come from humans, and that on those occasions when you must take something away, she gets something even better. Teaching GIMME, the GIVE exercise described in Chapter 13, Core Exercise 4.4 GIVE, will lay the foundation for this important concept. You can build on this foundation by working with GIMME at her meal times in a 4-week resource guarding program. Begin by setting her dish on the counter and putting her kibble in it. During week 1, feed her the entire meal by hand, one kibble at a time. Have other family members take turns feeding her, and even allow an occasional visitor to do it so that she really gets the concept that humans deliver resources. Be sure to include children in the mix. You want her to realize that having small humans around her food bowl is a good thing. In week 2, set Gimme's empty food bowl on the floor and put her meal in a second dish on the counter. Now drop a few kibbles into her dish, and while she is eating those, drop a few more. You want her to realize that when a human hand approaches her bowl, it is not coming to take her food away. Instead, more food is coming. Again, have all the family participate and include an occasional friend in the mealtime ritual. During week 3, put her bowl on the floor with about a quarter of her meal already in it. As she eats, continue to add more kibble, and occasionally add something really wonderful, like a slice of hot dog, chicken, or roast beef. Now you are teaching her that not only does the approaching hand bring more food, it actually brings better food. By now, she should be pretty well convinced that having humans around her food bowl is a wonderful idea. In the final week of your food bowl training, continue to drop kibble into her bowl as she eats. Now, assuming that she is showing absolutely no signs of food guarding when you reach toward her bowl, pick the bowl up while at the same time you drop pieces of her really wonderful treat on the floor. The message you're giving to Gimme is that food bowl going away equals really wonderful food on the ground. While you have the food bowl in your hand, put a few more pieces of the really wonderful treat in it and set it back down on the ground after she has finished the treats you dropped. You are simply reinforcing the concept that having humans mess with her food bowl is good. It returns to her with even better stuff in it. If you and others, for the rest of Gimme's life, continue to occasionally drop great stuff in her bowl while she is eating, she will always recognize humans near her bowl as a good thing and should never develop a food guarding problem. Modifying resource guarding. What if Gimme already has a food guarding problem? Management of her resource guarding behavior is critically important. For Gimme's sake, as well as for the safety of any potential victims, don't leave food, food bowls, and other high-value items lying around. If Gimme guards her feeding area even when her bowl is put up, she should routinely be fed in an out-of-the-way location, where unsuspecting visitors are not likely to travel. If her resource guarding is unpredictable or extends to toys, furniture, and humans, she needs to be safely secured in her crate when guests are visiting, especially if children are present. A first step toward changing Gimme's resource guarding behavior is a good positive training class. A good trainer will be able to work with you without using physical punishment to teach basic exercises that will help reduce Gimme's resource guarding. Training opens the channels of communication and strengthens the relationship between you and your dog. The more dogs you have, the more important it is for pack harmony that you train them. Good verbal control of your dogs identifies you as benevolent pack leader in their eyes and greatly enhances your ability to intervene peacefully and appropriately when necessary. If Gimme is just beginning to show signs of mild resource guarding and has never actually inflicted a bite, you may be able to modify her behavior yourself. Anything more serious than that, however, requires the guidance of a dog training professional. While the training class is teaching the two of you how to communicate better, you can begin a Say Please program at home. Say Please means that Gimmy must earn everything she wants, whether it is her dinner kibble or a favorite chew toy. She must realize that everything of value comes from you, and that it is yours to bestow upon her or not at your whim. This means that she sits or lies down for your attention, petting, treats, eye contact, and praise. She sits for a treat. She sits to go outside. She sits to have her leash put on. She lies down by your feet to be petted when you are sitting on the sofa. You can also begin the food bowl guarding program described earlier in this chapter, with a few changes. As long as Gimmy is showing signs of stress around her bowl when you approach, hackles up, stiffening legs, eating faster, growling, or snapping, only one adult family member does the feeding program. The 4-week program for puppies, outlined above, will likely take much longer with an adult dog who already has food guarding issues. Do not move on to the next week's lesson until she is doing the first week's procedure without any signs of stress, no matter how long that takes. When she is doing week 2 procedures well for the first adult, a second adult family member can begin week 1 procedures. Do not add children or visitors until she has completed the entire program and is completely comfortable with the week 4 procedures with all of the adults in the family. Keep in mind that this could take months. For now, Gimmy cannot have items that are so valuable that they easily trigger an aggressive response, such as rawhide chews or pig ears. If she growls at you from the middle of the mattress when you try to get in bed, her new sleeping spot must be in a closed crate. If she snaps at your boyfriend from your lap when he tries to get cozy, she is no longer allowed on the sofa. If she snaps at you when you try to invite her off the bed or sofa, use treats to lure her off. And, if necessary, attach a light house line to her collar so you can lead her off without putting your hand in the strike zone. A house line is a light cord long enough to get the job done that you leave on your dog only when you're there to supervise, to be sure she doesn't get tangled. Then, figure out how to block off her access to forbidden territory so you don't have to keep removing her. Paws off my person. It might be cute that little Chica the Chihuahua tries to bite your boyfriend when he kisses you, but it could get in the way of a long-term relationship. And it certainly won't be cute when you have to drive your boyfriend to the emergency clinic for stitches in his lip. Unfortunately, what you may initially perceive as an adorable attempt on your dog's part to claim your exclusive attention could end up in a one-way trip for the dog to the euthanasia room when the behavior escalates to a level that draws blood. A dog's guarding of her human resource, jealousy, is a dangerous behavior that needs to be addressed. Dogs do what feels good, or, as behaviorists say, behavior is reward-driven. If your dog is doing something that you want to change, at some level, it is rewarding to her. Find out what the reward is, and you are well on your way to changing the behavior. Think what it is that you do when your dog starts guarding you. Most people instinctively turn their attention toward the aggressor and yell at her or try to soothe her. Your attention is a huge reinforcer. Even negative attention, like yelling, is reinforcing, in your dog's mind. Something is better than nothing. So instead of directing your attention to your dog, figure out how to remove the reward. Make the good thing go away, and there's a good chance the behavior will diminish and eventually stop. In the case of jealousy, the good thing is you or your attention. Remember, Negative punishment means a good thing goes away. It does not involve the use of physical punishment. The easiest way to accomplish this is to have the human who is being resource guarded remove himself from the dog's presence, or, alternatively, remove the dog from the human's presence. When Chica growls at the boyfriend, her owner says cheerfully, "Too bad," and stands up, and Chica is gently deposited on the floor. If she continues to act out from the floor, she gets another pleasant, "Too bad," and goes in her crate or on her tether for a time out. The "too bad" is an important no-reward marker used to mark the behavior for which Chica is getting the time out. Like the click of the clicker, it communicates instantly and clearly to the dog so she knows which behavior is making the good thing, in this case, mom, lap, sofa, or Chica's freedom, go away. The "too bad" is delivered in a cheerful tone of voice. You are not trying to intimidate Chica into behaving. You are simply showing her that the consequence of her misbehavior is that all the good stuff goes away. The timeout is short, a few minutes in duration, so Chica can have another chance to make a more acceptable behavior choice. If she repeatedly acts aggressive from the sofa or her owner's lap, then she loses those privileges for a longer period, until a long-term "say please" program has a positive effect on Chica's behavior. Doggone it! Negative punishment also works well when Chica is guarding her human resource, you, from other dogs. Again, you remove yourself from her presence, or vice versa. This may be as simple as walking into another room and closing the door behind you so that she can't follow, and returning a few minutes later. It may, however, require crating or tethering. If you think the other dog contributed to the scuffle, as is often the case, then both dogs get the benefit of the timeout. It is also important to initiate other good management practices, including instituting very clear structure in terms of acceptable behavior, practicing responsible management by keeping the dogs separated as necessary, and using counter-conditioning to teach the dogs that they are not a threat to each other, but rather a predictor of good things. For example, your dog only gets special treats and attention in the presence of the other dog, and is ignored when the other dog is not present.